What a lovely rainy day for everybody. Welcome to it. It's a Monday. What a way to start the week, huh, Bill?
Wendy, it's romantic is what it is.
It is?
Yeah, look outside and tell me you just don't want to do an oil painting, because I do. If I had the ability to do an oil painting, I'd do an oil painting right now.
Looks like an oil painting.
So nice. A quick thank you to everybody who came out to Tree Time on Friday for our live broadcast. It was a crazy amount of fun, wasn't it?
It was a lot of fun. And then I had an appearance at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. And
for
a lot
the opening
of, people,
of Toyland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone came out. Everybody said, where's Bill?
Yeah. If there's toys involved, you'd think I would get the nod on this one, but I was told to stay away. That other people also wanted toys, and they'd appreciate it if I kept my distance. So I did.
Well, How many toy stores have asked you to stay away now, Bill?
All of them. This would be a complete list now.
Isn't your picture up in all of them?
Yeah.
If you see this man,
right.
Pick him out.
Right. Much like restaurants will have like their first dollar bill up that they ever earned, toy stores have a picture of me because I was usually their first and best customer. But now the tables have turned. You look dramatically different, by the way. Is your hair is different, right?
I parted in the middle because I'm wearing a hippie shirt and I want to look a little hippie-esque today.
But it's also different colors.
No, it's clean.
Not, oh, it's clean. That's what's different. All right. I knew something was different.
Yeah. You look the same.
I am the same. I do. Speaking of toys, I have to point something out. Evidently, there's something I have said wrong on the show countless times.
What?
All right. A listener named Bill. I was at the King County Toy Show yesterday.
Oh, you almost saw Jimmy Mack there.
He was about ready to go. Oh, he didn't go. And several listeners came up at different places and said hello, and it was very, very nice. And then a listener, Bill, came up and he said, I love the show. I listen to you guys on podcast every day.
But
he's working during. He said, but there's something you say wrong all the time and it drives me crazy. And I said, well, tell me what it is. And I'll try my best not to say it anymore. Can't promise, but I will try my best. So he said, you always say, and he used this example. He said, you know how you've become kind of disenchanted with blockbuster movies? And I have. There was a time that if there was a big movie, I couldn't wait to see it. And now lately, anytime I see those big, giant, huge movies,
meh.
I walk away disappointed, going, well, it was exactly what I thought it was, you know? So he said, you keep saying that you've suspended belief. I have to suspend belief. And he said, what you want to say is suspend disbelief. And I agreed. I said, all right.
You guys should go out to lunch
I will
and
say
talk
it that
about
way.
All these things.
But then the more I thought about it, isn't suspending belief what you're doing in those situations?
Yeah.
Although I did Google it, and it turns out that you're supposed to say suspend disbelief.
So everybody says it incorrectly except this listener?
The phrase is suspend disbelief.
It is, right.
I never use it because I don't know how to use it correctly, so I'm out of this one.
But if you're putting belief aside, aren't you suspending belief? Or are you suspending? I mean,
what you're putting aside is your discretion of, well, that could never happen. That's your disbelief.
Oh,
you know?
I guess so.
That's never possible, disbelief. So
I
you
guess
have to
so.
Set that aside.
You need a pocket Steve Bertrand.
Steve, would you travel in my pocket with me wherever I go? That would be the greatest thing in the world.
I said I would do it that one time, and it didn't work out for either of us.
But the way it bugs me when people say, I could care less.
It's couldn't.
And you try to explain it to somebody, and you go, well, if you could care less, you would care less, because there's things you would care less about.
Right.
Ta-da. And they go, no, I could care less.
Suspend disbelief. I guess that does sound better.
I'm going to start saying it that way.
Just eliminate it from your vocabulary like I've done.
No, because at some point I won't say anything anymore. I'll run
Why,
out of
Why, because you get corrected all
right.
the time?
I will just have to nod or shake my head no for at some point. It's not far off. It's coming very, very soon.
Don't make me suspend disbelief in that.
Well, then, to prove that I was going to learn from my ways throughout our conversation, I continuously then said, well, I suspended disbelief about that, you know, just to show him I've learned my lesson.
Good boy,
yeah,
Bill.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have something I'd like to debut on today's show.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch the Bears game?
No.
Are you going to watch the Bears game?
At some point.
Oh, my God. The Bears game was great yesterday.
Yeah. You know they only had like 2 yards of offense, right? I know they won.
Who cares?
Congratulations. But they were only on the field for 3 minutes out of the hour. They only had a couple of yards of offense.
Mitch Trubisky is not afraid to run with the ball and does well.
Yeah.
He is my new baby.
Your new baby?
He's my new baby.
And this was the first time the Bears have won two games in a row in 23 months. I mean, I know they don't play every month, but it's next month will be the two-year anniversary of the last time they won two games in a row.
Look at the things you celebrate.
I'm not happy about that. I'm just saying it's hard to invest in a team that goes years without winning two games in a row. And by all rights, and you watch the game, so you know this more than me, they didn't deserve to win. I mean, they won, but they won on the other team's mistakes. But still, they won, so good.
You know how many times teams have won on the Bears' mistakes?
Right. But don't you think now they're doing that thing that the Bears have done forever?
Why do you have to pee in my pool
all
the time?
I'll do that figuratively and literally. You know how they do that thing where they do just good enough to make people like you think, oh, well, they stand a chance. They're in it. They're close.
I'm not saying they're in it. I'm saying they've won two in a row. They look like a football team for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
You could do the first down yesterday in one hand, right?
Right.
Quit piling on.
They're an awful, awful football team.
Well, then where do you get to go from awful? Better.
If it was any other team in the league, I would agree with you because somebody behind the scenes would go, all right, let's build on this. Let's build on this. They don't know how to build on stuff.
They inspired me to write a song.
They did.
Yes.
Well, there's a plus.
All right.
So can we take a break?
Yes.
And can I debut my Mitch Trubisky song?
I would love that.
I worked long and hard on this, trying to come up with the perfect melody and the words.
Yes.
So let's take a break.
I hope you get more yardage out of it than they got in the game yesterday.
You're a mean man, Bill Leff.
All right, we'll see what happens. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. So because the Bears are on this insane winning streak, they haven't lost a game in 2 weeks. It's nuts.
Hey, you have to start somewhere, Bill.
No, you do. You do. And their second home win, which is more than they had all of last season, so that's another positive. As Steve pointed out, only 5 first downs in the whole game. Normally that doesn't equal a win. It did yesterday, so congratulations. It inspired you, Wendy, to sit down with Bernie Taupin and write a song.
Well, I had to find the perfect melody, and it took me hours and hours to find it. And then I had to write it, and then I had to copyright it. And
sure. You did all that yesterday?
I did it all yesterday.
Wow.
Steve, did you watch the game at all? Because Mitch Trubisky really impressed me.
Yeah.
Did you watch it, Bertrand?
Steve has been told by his attorneys to not answer any of your questions, and I don't blame them.
All right. Well, it took me such a long time to find the perfect melody, and are you ready?
Yes.
Mitch Trubisky, I like Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky, he's my favorite bear. Not afraid to pass the ball. When he runs, he'll sometimes fall, pass the ball. Oak Brook Mall, better call Saul. Oh, Mitch Trubisky, I like Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky, he's my favorite bear. None of us are missing Jay. I hope Trubisky's here to stay. Not missing Jay, here to stay. Pass or play, Colin Hay. Oh, you get the... It took so long to come up with the melody.
First of all, I'm suing you because you stole that from me.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
I did not.
Second of all, it's very good. It's very catchy. And I don't know why they wouldn't sing this on the sidelines at Soldier Field. There's no reason why they wouldn't.
Well, the good news is I stopped with only 2 verses.
I went with 11.
100.
Well, I went with a lot of verses because I have time. That's why I did that.
You should do something like that for
well,
the
that
show.
That was delightful. That was nothing short of delightful. Speaking of Jake Arrieta, whose song you stole for your song, did you see the pictures of him?
No. Did he shave?
He's completely shaved, and he looks like he's 22 years old. He looks, you know how imposing he looks normally when he's got the beard and either the regular hair or of late he's had much shorter hair? All right, so a picture came out yesterday that his wife took of them together, and she put it all over social media. And other people were on Facebook, they were going, guess who this is? And I'm looking at it going,
you had no idea.
Kind of familiar, but I don't know exactly who that is, but I've seen the face before.
That
I don't
is
know
unbelievable.
Who it is. Isn't it crazy? All right, so we'll get, for people who have not seen this picture, we'll put it on our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Steiner.
That is not him.
That's him.
Why in God's name would he wear the Abe Lincoln beard then?
Well, here's why I think. Which of the two do you not want to face? Which of those guys, the Jake Arrieta we know with Abe Lincoln's dad's beard, or the one you're looking at this picture where he just looks like a nice guy, you know, a friendly, nice guy, you want to face, well, you want to face the nice guy, but if you're him, you go, I want to look mean and imposing, right? It doesn't even look like the same person. He looks so peaceful.
He really looks different.
Yeah.
He looks younger, as you mentioned.
10 years younger.
Okay, so maybe that would be the look you want to go at, because they're like, look at this little league kid. He's
right.
Not going to be able to
throw
anything.
Hard. He's probably, I'm surprised his mom's not standing next to him, right?
Wow.
Like most people you know, if they shave their beard or their mustache or something, they look a little different, but he looks like a totally different person. You'd never recognize him.
And his hat must not be pushed down as far because his ears aren't sticking out as much either.
There's that. Yeah, that's also been mentioned. He's wearing his hat backwards, so
maybe
we're not used to seeing that. He should do that when he plays. He should definitely do that when he plays.
He needs a bigger cap maybe because he has it so low
right.
that it...
Right.
I thought his ears looked like that for reals.
But you know what else is weird is he's in great shape, right? You can't disagree with it. He's a rock. He's in such good shape. But when he's like this, when he's all clean shaven, it's not that he doesn't still look muscular, but it's not, he just looks like friendly now.
He does.
Yeah, which I guess you don't want as a pitcher. You don't want a guy who looks like he's your friend. You want a guy who looks like he might
hurt you.
He might hurt you in some way. Back off the plate or you're going to get some chin music. You want that kind of a look. But he just looks so friendly, so peaceful.
He really does.
I'm shocked.
All right, well, he should keep that beard off. You think he's going to?
I think it's one of many changes we may see.
Do you think he's going to stay with the Cubs?
I do not. I'd love for him to stay with the Cubs.
You really don't, honestly?
I don't think so. Because he's gonna command an insane amount of money right now, and the Cubs right now have these sweetheart deals with a couple of players where they're not paying them a lot of money. Chris Bryant, for instance, this will sound crazy, but he's only making about $1 million something a year, and he's going to make 25 times that, 30 times that.
Yeah.
So the money that they have will probably go to position players. So I'm going to miss him. And there was a lot of talk about that. You know, his start the other night was probably the last start for the Cubs. And he got a really nice ovation when he first walked out. He got a really nice ovation when he left the field a little early for my liking. I wish he would have stayed in a little longer.
Yeah.
But the fans sure, respected him. And he gave us an incredible ride. In our lifetime, I think there's only been one or maybe two other pitchers that have been better for the Cubs.
Who?
I think you can make an argument for Rick Sutcliffe. And the one they call Mad Dog.
That would be Maddux.
Greg Maddux, yeah. I think those would be the only two in our lifetime. Prior to, there may have been a couple of other Cub pitchers that were better, but those would be the three best that I can remember.
All right, well, Ted thinks he knows why Jake Arrieta shaved. Hi, Ted.
Yes. Hi, good morning, guys. Hey, I think this is the new start of Jake Arrieta's new era of domination.
Do you think so?
Well, there was this imposing thing with the whole beard and that. Now batter's going to come to the plate, and here's this guy on the mound, no beard, and they just heard that you said that he's totally shaved.
Yeah.
And now they're going to deal with that. And how in the world how do you know, Bill, that you...
I don't know that he's shaved. Totally shaved, just for the record.
Well, that's what I'm saying. As a batter, I'm like, what's that all about, man?
They don't have to disclose that. He may not be 100% shaved, but where his face is and where his head is, he is shaved. I'm sorry. Right. I didn't mean...
No, don't apologize. The Cubs may be like, hey, we can bring this guy back now.
No. There's some things I don't want or need to know about him, but yeah, from what we can see, he's shaved.
Yeah. All right. Hey, anything that puts the batters off kilter. That's when you said that, I thought, that's perfect. The batting dude, was that the pitching coach that came up with that? I mean, what happened?
That's why they fired him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, bad move.
That's why
right.
They let Bosio go. All right. Well,
thank you, Ted.
I'm going to miss that guy, by the way. Oh, listen to this.
Arrieta, Jacob Arrieta, Arrieta. He's my favorite Cub. Almost pitched a perfect game. Destined for the Hall of Fame. Freeze the frame. Shout his name. Perfect game. Hall of Fame. Oh, Arrieta, Jacob Arrieta.
This doesn't sound familiar.
Arrieta,
I don't remember this.
He's my favorite Cub. Doesn't give up many hits. Enjoys a hot dog and some Schlitz. Many
don't
hits,
do too much more of it because Steve gets nuts.
Oh, Arrieta.
I like my Mitch Trubisky song better.
Yeah,
I gotta
they're both
be
good.
Honest with
we'll
you.
Put out a double CD. We'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot more show. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. Oh, I got a frog in my throat. Best meal I've had all week. And the week is young. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Countrywide Financial has put together a new program called Journey to Success. And it focuses on various charities that can help area communities. And today we're going to talk about the Chicago Commons charity. And the president and CEO of Chicago Commons, Edgar Ramirez, is in the studio with us. Edgar, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
Good. Now, first and foremost, can you give us a little background and tell us what Chicago Commons is all about?
Yeah, so Chicago Commons is a 123-year-old nonprofit in Chicago. It's one of the first Chicago institutions that was established to help low-income individuals and families survive poverty and isolation and discrimination. We continue that mission today. We mostly continue that mission through early childhood education, high quality early childhood education.
You got to get them while they're young,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and senior services, and then also with wraparound supports in our Family Hub program.
So more specifically, what are you doing? I mean, that's an overview, but be more specific for
us. So in our early ed program, we start children at 8 weeks old, and we provide literacy supports, social emotional supports, getting them on the right track for kindergarten.
8 weeks old. Okay.
That's starting them
very young.
Very
Bill was
early.
Double promoted, so of course you didn't need a program like this.
But a lot of people need
those grades.
I'm all right.
But the research shows the earlier you get a child involved in a classroom activity, in structured classroom activity, the better it will be for their education success in the long run.
It just gets your brain in shape for learning,
right? It does. Children start processing information at a very young age. Mm-hmm. And they not only do it through hearing words, they do it through touch, feel, sharing with classmates and whatnot. And that's what they experience at Chicago Commons.
Excellent. Yeah.
You know, I think back of when we were growing up, there was no preschool.
Right.
I mean, you'd play with the neighborhood kids, but not at 6 weeks or 8 weeks old.
Right.
And now it's like if your kid does not go to preschool or pre-preschool, everyone scares you that they're going to fall behind in kindergarten.
Right.
But there is some truth behind that.
There is some truth. People are starting their children, as they should. People start their children out at a very young age and in literacy practice, in social-emotional supports. But all studies show that the earlier you get a child in a classroom environment, the greater their executive functioning skills mature, the more they are more apt to be looking forward to school and ready to participate. And also not only for the child, but for the parent as well.
Yeah.
Right? So the parents are not only bystanders at Chicago Commons, they're very involved. 100% of our families are involved in volunteer activities. We make sure that they are participating when there's teacher and parent conferences and whatnot. So it's a good start for them as well. It's a head start for them.
What kind of results are you seeing so far?
It's great. So over 85% of our children are ready to go into kindergarten. So their literacy scores are where they need to be. Their social emotional scores are where they need to be. And they're set up for success.
The ones that aren't in that 85 percentile, do they still advance to kindergarten?
Oh, yeah.
They do.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. They may not be hitting those scores in our assessments, but what we do also is work with parents to make sure that we are working with them, because you know the parents are the first teachers of a child, right? And if we can get those parents and serve them, give them tools, the necessary tools to make sure that their children are learning not only in the classroom but in the home as well, that usually gets the child up to that 85%.
Boy, I wish there was like a how-to guide on how to be a parent, because really that's the toughest and most important job anyone will ever
have.
Chicago Commons, it's very impressive that that's been around for 123 years. And a nonprofit organization, I imagine you need people to donate either their time or financially, and you have a big fundraiser coming up on November 3rd. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, it's a great fundraiser. We do it every year. It'll be November 3rd at London House, and tickets are $100. You can get tickets by visiting our website, www.chicagocommons.org. It's a really fun time. It's a lot of good music, good food, good drink. We have a short program, but not a mighty long program where people don't have a chance to enjoy one another's company.
Very good.
And we need to find out about these things, because really I'm embarrassed. I haven't heard of Chicago Commons before, and it's been around for 123 years.
Yeah.
So our job and Country Financial's job is to get everyone out there and on board to help Chicago Commons. The website again, chicagocommons.org. And CEO and president of Chicago Commons, Edgar Ramirez, on the line with us. You can donate money at chicagocommons.org as well?
That's right.
All right. Yep. Thanks to Country Financial and their new program called Journey to Success. It was very nice to meet you. We wish you a lot of luck.
Pleasure was mine.
Thanks, Edgar.
So much.
Really appreciate it. Yeah. A quick break, then more show. Stay here. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
And again, thanks to Country Financial with their sponsorship of a new program, Journey to Success. We talked to the president and CEO of Chicago Commons, Edgar Ramirez. And I need to start doing more charitable work.
Yes. Why don't you start doing more charitable work, Wendy? This is out of hand. This is ridiculous. Start now. Help people. Stop hurting people. Start helping people.
That's the goal.
Several people have texted us. I mentioned that Jake Arrieta, in my opinion, is one of the three greatest Cub pitchers in our lifetime, Greg Maddux being the other, Rick Sutcliffe, and several people have said, you have left out the best of all time, and I think I did, Ferguson Jenkins, so I apologize.
Fergie Jenkins.
Fergie Jenkins was quite a pitcher, and a nice man. I got to interview him on opening day a couple years ago, and he looks like, if he wanted to, he could still get out there and throw. He's in great shape.
Bill Hands, did you mention Bill Hands?
I didn't mention Bill Hands.
What a great name for a pitcher. Hello.
Better than Bob Walk. He was not. That was a bad name for a pitcher.
Right.
No, I didn't mention him or Jim Colburn, Steve.
Colburn comes
so
to
I'll
mind,
to,
right?
I'll have to think about that. Or Steve Stone, who had a pretty good career with the Cubs.
What about Kershaw?
Never pitched for the Cubs, Wendy.
Oh, you're just talking Cubs.
Yeah,
he
just
pitched
Cubs.
At the Cubs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Recently, back when the Cubs were playing.
Oscar Zamora?
Oscar Zamora was not mentioned. Jeffrey Zahn was not mentioned.
Jeff Zahn.
No,
you guys are
it.
Kind of cute when you turn into your little boy
Oh, Steve and I can do this from now until Thursday.
Oh, yeah, easily.
We could easily do this from now until Thursday. Phil Regan also not mentioned.
Jeff Zahn went on to coach college baseball,
I think he did.
Against my son.
Oh, they,
my
really?
Brother, my brother.
Your
wow.
son?
Yeah. Son, brother. Right. It's like Chinatown up in the newsroom. It gets crazy up there. I know we don't have a whole lot of time to discuss this, but I wanted to bring this up at some point, so I'll just bring it up now. I don't know if you've noticed this, Wendy. I'm not a huge fan of our current president, and yet he's about to do something that I really enjoy, that I like a lot.
All right.
So because anytime I mention him, it's in a negative light, I would like to this time, and maybe this time only, mention him in a positive light. It turns out that the president has the power to either withhold or release certain government documents. And there are documents having to do with the John F. Kennedy assassination that have not been seen by the public. They've been sealed off. We're not allowed to know what's in those documents.
We're not going to learn anything from them.
See, that's what I'm trying to figure out, is if we will or we won't. I like to think there's something in there that could shed some important light on it, because my whole life I've been curious about this. I was only a day old when President Kennedy got assassinated.
And of course you remember
But
it.
I was in the hospital. I was spellbound by it. I was watching it on TV, and I'm saying to myself, I was 1 day old, and the doctors, you know, told me later on that I was perplexed by it, and I kept saying, I don't know that this guy could have done this by himself. There might have been something more behind it. So I don't know what we're about to learn. It's very possible we'll learn nothing from these documents. But just the mere fact that we'll finally have access to them, I think, is a good thing.
I think it's a good thing, too. And who was it that said that they didn't want him to release it? Someone in his cabinet, I thought.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
In college, I had a professor, which everyone had a professor in college who was obsessed by the JFK
sure.
assassination.
Of course.
So going through it was really fascinating. And, you know, it's not that he believed in the conspiracies, but he pointed out, this is, you know, the shots
weird...
came from here, but this is where Oswald was.
Right.
And it was really fascinating to me.
Yeah.
That 11-22-63 book.
The Stephen King book.
And the series with James Franco that was on was so fascinating to me. And now I want to go back and watch the JFK Oliver Stone movie, which was awesome.
Well, a lot of that. It's a good movie.
It's fabricated.
A lot of it is, yeah. It's Oliver Stone's take on it, and it may have been right. It may not have been right.
I guess
you could say that about everybody's take on it. We
exactly.
don't know.
And, you know, I was reading something over the weekend where Oliver Stone says, I'm not saying this is a factual
right.
account. I am showing you some of the conspiracy theories that were brought up and building on them a
right.
little bit. That
right.
was actually a pretty good movie. Did you like that JFK
I
movie?
I did. All right, so some of what's up for debate on what will probably be released, we don't know for sure if they will, but it's leaning towards, it looks like they'll be released, is a little prior to the assassination on November 22nd, 1963, Lee Harvey Oswald goes to Mexico City. So evidently, in this report, his reasons for being there are in the report, but it's been kind of a dead end as far as the public is concerned as to why he was there. We know that he was there, but we don't know why he was there. So evidently one of the things that will be revealed in this report is exactly what was going on for him to be in Mexico City prior to the assassination.
And do you think
we met with?
We'll glean anything from that?
I don't know.
Because obviously they know. They investigated it.
Right.
Although I'm telling you, I don't think I'll ever trust government again after watching that Vietnam Ken Burns special.
Yeah.
Because
information was suppressed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like I think, oh, it's the government. What are they doing? You know, they
yeah.
have our best interest at heart.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe we will see something. But aren't there like 800,000 documents?
There's
like who's going to go through them?
I don't know.
Will you volunteer?
This time of year, Wendy, I'm so busy. I can't imagine why. Like originally when they said that they were putting these documents aside, they were afraid that it could hurt people close to him. Like at the time, like when they first separated these documents, Jackie Kennedy Onassis was still alive. And well, his daughter is still alive. His son is no longer with us. His brothers are gone. So they didn't want it to affect them in any way, shape, or form. But now that most of those people are no longer with us, I guess it's okay.
Caroline Schlossberg,
she's still around, yeah.
So what does she say about this?
I don't know. She's been conspicuously absent, even on anniversaries. You know, anytime there's... Like, I remember on the 50th anniversary of his death, you would think that would be the go-to person to talk to. But I think it was on the 50th... that she was conveniently out of the country. Like they went out of their way to make sure she wasn't accessible for interviews on the 50th, you know, which is a very curious thing. But I guess if you're her, you know, you're confronted with it every single day of your life.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the worst time, you know, maybe it's better that she wasn't around for that. But I'm fascinated as to what could possibly be there. I'm also, again, not a fan of Donald Trump's, but I wonder what his why he's being so open with this. He's not open about a lot of things, but about this he's like, yeah, people should have the right to know what's in there. I wonder what's in it for him.
Yeah, his exact quote, subject to the receipt of further information I will be allowing as president, the long blocked and classified JFK files to be opened.
And this happens soon, right? This is in the next couple days or weeks. Does it say when?
Steve, do you know exactly?
I do not.
It's not on November 22nd, though, right? It's prior
no.
to that.
Well, I would hope not. I mean, that would be
piling
October 26th
well,
deadline.
It would be weird sort of marketing it. You
oh,
know?
Yeah, I guess so. October 26th?
October 26th is the deadline set in law by Congress mandating the public release of the still-secret documents, including FBI and CIA files, barring any action by the president to block the release of these certain documents.
Don't you think, and I know this will sound like it's dripping of conspiracy theory, but I have to say it anyway, don't you think if there is anything in there that's so shocking that we weren't ready for, like purely hypothetical, like somebody on the inside knew that this was coming and could have prevented it, that kind of thing, don't you think if there's something huge like that, somebody will have gotten to it and taken it out already?
Yes. Because certain documents might still be blocked. See, that's
right.
what I don't get about this.
Right.
You want to be transparent, release them all.
Yeah.
Boy.
Also, if you're the president, wouldn't you comb through that your first day in office? Like,
he's
I would want to go.
Take the time to go through all those documents.
I guess. I'd get somebody.
I would too, because now I'm sick to my stomach. What if we find out that something.
That there's something. I don't think anything too jarring could be in there for just that reason. That's. Somebody has proofread it word for word for word and just said, well, they can hear about this and this. I don't think they want to hear about this, and put it aside.
No.
I know that sounds very non-trusting, but that's because I'm non-trusting.
I'm really non-trusting now. I swear to God, I'm just this little suburbanite kid who, yeah, the government has our best interest. I really believe that in my heart of hearts.
But did you, like, forever, didn't you think this is one of those things that we'll all go to our graves not fully understanding exactly what took place that day? I wish so badly. I would love to know exactly what happened. And this might be, in our lifetime, this might be our last chance to know what happened for real. But I think that somebody superseded it. Somebody went, well, the American public isn't ready to know this, so let's just hide this part of it.
Like,
let's give them all the other crap, but this part, I don't want them to know.
Maybe an alien.
Probably
alien.
Aliens, probably.
I do want to know, though.
Oh,
I'm
dying
to
know.
But yeah, the 26th is the deadline.
Yeah.
So, and you never know if our president will change his mind as well, too. At that point, when that was tweeted out on the 20th, I don't know when it was.
It was a few days ago.
Yeah. That's when he said, yeah, we'll do it.
Right.
Sunday.
Right. Yep.
I want to see what's in there.
Let's see what's in there.
I'll volunteer to go through them.
You'll do it page by page?
Well, you and I can share.
Split it up. That'll be a much easier job. All right, good. I'm in. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got plenty of stuff on the show. Glad you're here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. We're easy to reach. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there and you can text, or you can text us there. We have something important to talk about, but before we get to that, I just want to mention this because I'm looking at the texts that have come in. I mentioned earlier, I was talking about Arrieta, Jake Arrieta of the Cubs, and how you can't even recognize him. There's a picture that's on social media that his wife took of the two of them together, and you can't even recognize that it's Jake Arrieta. We're so used to seeing him with one of those Smith Brothers beards, you know, from the box of cough drops, and now he is clean shaven. From what we can see, he's shaven his head, his face. And he just looks like a friendly neighborhood kid. He doesn't look like the intimidating Jake Arrieta.
He looks entirely different.
You wouldn't recognize him, would you? I looked at the picture last night not knowing it was him because somebody on Facebook said, guess who this is? And I just thought, well, it's some kid mowing lawns on your block, right? But no, it's Jake Arrieta. He looks really friendly. So I said in our lifetime, he's one of the three best Cub pitchers. And I mentioned Rick Sutcliffe and I mentioned Greg Maddux. And then everybody sent in, you forgot Ferguson Jenkins, and I did, and I'm sorry. He may have been the best of all, Fergie Jenkins. But now other people are upset that I didn't mention Bruce Sutter. I'm sorry, Bruce Sutter.
You know this is going to go on all day.
Several people said Bert Hooten,
who
was a guest
on
our show, and possibly my favorite Cub of all time, Bert Hooten. Loved Bert Hooten, the kid.
Why didn't you do a song about him?
I've written a song about him. I'll do that later. Dennis Eckersley got several mentions. You left out Dennis Eckersley. And somebody just texted in, Mitch, please. And I'm guessing they mean Mitch
Trubisky.
Williams. Well, no, he doesn't. He's never.
I know, but he likes my
oh, maybe.
Chicago Bears
Maybe
love.
That's what it is.
Mitch, who was the other one? I'm sorry.
Mitch Williams, who was the original Wild Thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who in Major League, they kind of, even though it's the Cleveland Indians, Charlie Sheen is a guy they call Wild Thing, but it came after Mitch Williams. Or did it? Or was it reversed? Maybe it was reversed. Maybe they called him that after the movie. I don't remember.
You're the star of the movie.
I don't remember the timeline.
You should know this.
I'm one of the stars of the movie, Wendy. Thank you, though. That's very nice of you. All right, now on to more important topics. This Cub Scout, do you know the story about this kid, Ames Mayfield?
I've heard about this story.
This is nuts.
And I'm confused.
He's 11 years old, so they get the assignment in his Cub Scout troop that this lady is coming in who's a state senator, right? So the assignment is come up with a question to ask her. Her name is Vicky Marble. And all you Cub Scouts.
I would like that name.
Vicky Marble.
That's fun.
Sounds like you'd be solving crimes somewhere, yeah. Doesn't it? When Miss Marble comes in, have a question ready that is pertinent to the community. Formulate a question that you can ask Vicky Marble, the state senator, that will reflect upon the community. So his question is about gun control. He wants to know about why there isn't more gun. This is right after what happened in Las Vegas, so it's on this kid's mind. So he says, I'll ask her this gun control question and ask her why she didn't do a better job of voting to block this sort of thing. He did his research, and he found out her voting record And he'll say, hey, you know, if you're so gung-ho about gun control, why didn't you vote this way? It's brilliant, right?
I think that's awesome that an 11-year-old kid puts forth the effort to try and get answers to something he obviously is worried
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. I give that
was
kid credit.
Was he commended?
No, he was kicked out.
See, I don't understand
he
this.
He was kicked out of his den for this. They told him it was inappropriate.
It's not inappropriate.
I don't think it is inappropriate.
Inappropriate would be, you know, what size is your bra? That would have been inappropriate. This is a question that a kid has.
Right. That shows that he's not just a dumb 11-year-old kid.
It concerns him and his friends and his family.
And the assignment was point blank, ask a question that's pertinent to your community. And it is. You know, if you're a little kid, if you're an 11-year-old kid and you're watching the news and you're hearing stuff like this, your first thought is, well, could this happen to me? Could I just be somewhere and all of a sudden somebody starts pointing a gun at strangers and shooting? I would want to know this answer. This is the most perfect question to have asked. A Cub Scout was kicked out of his den. This is according to Yahoo this morning. Cub Scout was kicked out of his den after he questioned a Colorado state lawmaker about her position on gun control and previous comments that she made about African-Americans' health and eating fried chicken. I didn't even get to that. It was the latest political flashpoint for the Boy Scouts after President Donald Trump used his speech at the organization's National Jamboree in July to rail against what he calls fake news and former President Barack Obama and boast about beating Hillary Clinton. Now, when that was on, we played those clips in the news. That seemed far more inappropriate than this kid's question, didn't it?
Yep.
And everyone there, well, I shouldn't say everyone there, the majority of the people there seemed out of sorts by it all back when this happened. 11-year-old Ames Mayfield posed the question at an October 9th event in Broomfield that's located between Denver and Boulder, Colorado. Cub Scouts had been told to come prepared to talk to Republican State Senator Vicky Marble about issues important to them. Ames' mother, Lori Mayfield, said that the local scout leader later told her that the topic of gun control was inappropriate because of its political nature and the boys' questions were disrespectful.
He did kind of say something. Do you have the exact question he asked?
Go ahead. You can do it. Do it.
Because this, again.
And there's audio of it that I listened to before the show, and it's very, very hard to make out. We could play it, but honestly, it's almost inaudible. You can't really understand what he's saying. It's taken from a distance, and nobody expected this to be newsworthy. So nobody put, you know, great sound equipment there.
This doesn't change my mind.
All right.
But it made me think a little more. Here's the actual question when it was Ames's turn to ask the question, and I quote, "An issue that I'm concerned about is common sense gun control. I was shocked that you co-sponsored a bill to allow domestic violence offender to continue to own a gun. Why on earth would you want somebody who beats their wife to have access to a gun?"
Yeah.
That is very blunt.
Well,
if you want to know the truth, like that last part of it,
it's assuming
made it maybe a little disrespectful. The question was great.
How would you have worded it?
I would have left that last part off. Why on earth would you want somebody who beats their wife to have access to a gun? I don't know that it was the proper forum before. I think why would you co-sponsor a bill that allows domestic violence offenders to continue to own a gun? Right there, he could have stopped.
That would
have been enough
to get the point across.
Yes.
All right. But I don't think what he, I mean.
I still don't think he should have been kicked out of the den.
No.
But I think that got a little, why on earth would you want somebody
too
who
graphic?
Beats their wife to have access to a gun? I don't know. I don't know how to describe it other than that. To me, pushed it over.
Okay.
Again,
that's
still
fair.
Shouldn't be taken out of the den.
No. And just so people know, he's been removed from the den, but apparently not from the troop, which is confusing to me. I only spent 1 year as a Cub Scout, so I don't remember exactly what the hierarchy is when it comes to. A den is a smaller group, if I remember right. It's usually like six or seven, and then there's a pack, and then there's a troop. So he's been kicked out of that particular six or seven person unit, if it still holds up that way. I was a Cub Scout a long, 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 long time ago. But other people within the troop have said he's still welcome in the troop, just not in that particular den. But I don't understand that. You would almost think it would go that higher up would say, well,
right.
we can't have that kid representing our troop. I don't understand why.
Ames went on to say, given that the Las Vegas shooting happened, I felt that it should be a reasonable thing to ask. I don't feel like I did anything wrong. And then former Congresswoman and gun control advocate Gabrielle Giffords agrees. She tweeted, you have that?
I know what that is, but go ahead.
She tweeted on Thursday, a quote, "This is exactly the kind of courage we need in Congress. Ames, call me in 14 years and I will campaign for you."
That's brilliant. That's very
nice. It's a great question. And I don't know. I maybe it's fine that he said that. You know, why would you want somebody who beats their wife to have access to a gun? Maybe that made people go, ooh, you know what I mean?
Well, don't you think that question was almost split into two halves? Like in the very beginning where he goes, I was surprised to learn that you, like that part of it almost sounds too mature for an 11-year-old. But then the second part of it, the part that might be more objectionable, that's the way an 11-year-old would talk. Like, I'm trying to figure this out. If a guy was beating his wife, why would you let that guy have a gun? So there's like a weird juxtaposition.
Yeah, you're right.
Maybe somebody helped them with part of the question, but not the rest of the question. Because maybe an adult would have said, that second part might be too strong. Let's not overdo it.
Right.
Right?
Because that was like a little shocking at the end.
Well, but shocking, but valid.
Because, absolutely.
Because really, his question is pure and honest.
And that's what drives me nuts. I mean, I was reading something about, you know, how are kids different or parenting different from when we grew up? And, you know, back when we were growing up, and I will admit this completely, kids were seen and not heard.
Right.
Heard. They were like, you know, you do as you're told. You don't question your parents.
Right.
I mean, your parents were a little looser. My mom must have been, too, because I questioned her a lot.
Yeah.
But really, it's like you were just supposed to listen to your parents and they gave the old because I said so.
Right.
Well, now it's completely different. And I'm not saying kids are snowflakes today. I am so not. But kids have a right to ask questions and get them answered accurately.
Right. And this is a perfect
example.
It is. It is. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. If you have some thoughts on this, we would love to hear them. Should this boy have been removed from the Cub Scouts for what he asked? He's 11 years old.
He should get a badge for
it. He should get an honesty badge.
Yeah.
That's true. We're at 312-981-7200. I'd love to discuss this with you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. We're talking about an 11-year-old boy, Ames Mayfield, former Cub Scout.
Well, he's still a Cub Scout.
He's out of his den. Have people ever said that about you? I like Wendy, but I got to be honest with you. She's a little out of her den, if you know what I mean. Right?
I presume I will be hearing that a lot.
Yeah, people have said
from
that.
From now on.
Sure. So here was the assignment. They knew that a woman was coming by who was a state senator. She's a Republican named Vicky Marble over in Colorado. So they said to the Cub Scouts, have a question ready to ask her that pertains to the community, a concern of yours about the community. And he formulates this question about gun control, and he wants to know why there aren't tighter restrictions there in Colorado, and they kick him out of his den.
Can I read the question again?
Yeah, sure.
An issue that I'm concerned about is common sense gun control. I was shocked that you co-sponsored a bill to allow domestic violence offenders to continue to own a gun. Why on earth would you want somebody who beats their wife to have access to a gun?
And you say that last sentence is the one that is the most problematic.
I'm
right?
trying to think of my kids.
What they would ask?
And I don't hear them phrasing it that way. I don't hear them phrasing it that way to an adult.
Well, even the part where he says, I'm shocked to learn, because when you're 11, it takes a lot to shock you.
Right, I guess.
Doesn't it? Because you're like, well, anything can happen in the universe. You know, you're not jaded yet. You're 11 years old. So to be shocked by anything at 11, that says a lot.
And former Congresswoman, as I mentioned, and gun control advocate Gabrielle Giffords tweeted on Thursday that this is exactly the kind of courage we need in Congress, Ames. Call me in 14 years. I'll campaign for you. And then Giffords' husband, who's an astronaut, Mark Kelly, called Ames and his mother on Thursday night, had a private conversation about it. And Kelly told him, keep asking those tough questions in life. And Ames says, you know, I'm kind of glad to see someone on my side that truly understands it.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
And he's a bright kid. I've seen a couple of interviews with him. He's a very bright kid. When I was a kid, when I was in grade school, there was a senator named Ed Derwinski that used to come by every year.
I know that name.
Do you remember him?
Yeah.
He's no longer with us. So every year he would come. And the first time, I was probably in third or fourth grade, and I thought, I didn't know a lot of celebrities, you know, and I went, wow, this is a famous guy coming to our little school to talk to us. And then at the end of his speech, he did that year, and then every other year, he would really stress the fact to make sure that you kids tell your parents that I was here and that I spoke to you and that I really care about you. And all the kids were like, wow, this guy really cares about us. But I saw it as
trying to get votes.
Yeah, he was manipulating votes a little bit. We couldn't vote.
Genius.
But we would tell our parents that he came by. But the questions that were asked were always ridiculous. Like, he would speak for a while, and the questions were always like, did you ever meet the president? You know, it was always those kind of wide-eyed questions. I wonder what would have happened back then if there was a question this good, like this kid put together.
Well, it's a question. Someone has texted us and said, did the congresswoman answer the question?
I think she did. I think she did.
All right. Well, Frank wants to chime in. Hi, Frank. How are you?
Hi. Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
For the things like this, the fascinating thing for me and probably for my 128 students that I'll have in class tomorrow morning and when we talk about this is not the front end but the back end. People question the politicians all the time. Whether it's the kid did it on his own, whether he was coached, half and half, this stuff happens all the time. And politicians in sensitive, possibly, potentially various situations, they backpedal. This happens all the time. The back end, what the Cub Scouts organization responds to it, that's what fascinates me. What are you allowed to do? What can you do up to a point where you are penalized, yanked out of your den, put in another den? I thought that was the fascinating part. And then what tone is that set, that back end, for the future?
Right. You're right. And they have made some progress over at the Cub Scouts. There was a story about a month ago that they're finally letting girls in, although there's Girl Scouts, too,
I don't know why.
You know.
But
they're trying their best to remain, like, important to society. But then this just sets them far back, don't you think?
I think it's specifically to the allowing girls in. I agree with Wendy. But I think they're trying to get the numbers up.
Yeah.
I think that's a play, which is fine. You have to recruit outside the boundaries of tradition. Look at the Catholic Church and some of the things. Their large leader in Rome is trying to not forgive, but kind of get past.
Right.
Try and get the numbers up. It's when we get down to it, a lot of these things, you know, not being mean or cruel, whether it's church, religion, or organizations, it is a business to extend, and it thrives on a strong membership.
So when you discuss this, are you a teacher or what position you hold?
I teach broadcast journalism to 128 juniors at a prep school, and 98% of the enrollment is African American.
Yeah.
They will have a very keen interest in this.
So what will your take be? What will you say to them that you need to ask questions like this, right?
Right. It's pretty much easy to guess what a lot of their gut responses will be. So in encouraging those, I have to say, also get on the other side. Let's get in this I think she was a state senator, not a congresswoman. Get in her shoes, and why is she doing this? She represents a wide range of folks. So when I present stuff like this, especially to a group that's ethnically inclined to this overwhelmingly, I always have to inject the balance too. Remember, there's another side, at least two sides to every incident that happens, if not more.
Sound like a great teacher, Frank.
Well, maybe they're getting me raised. I'm kidding. I love my pay. I love everything. It's a lot of fun. I worked in television news for 19 years, so I kind of try to bring the real thing in my class whenever I can.
Very good.
And it's like any job, great days. There's, you know, tougher days. But if you don't want to work, then find the lottery or something.
Right.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Frank, for weighing in on this.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. We've got news coming up next, and then Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune will be joining us. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
We do. I mean,
we praise you.
We praise you.
Thank you.
And then you come in.
I really do. I genuinely.
On the days we don't praise you, you refuse to come in.
I'm humble. I know it's part of the deal we strike. You play the song, I come in. You don't, I don't.
That's how it is.
That's how it is.
We're like a close and play phonograph. Eric Zorn is here, fine columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Comes in every Monday, and we talk about almost anything that he wants. That's how it usually goes. And today, topic number one is General Kelly.
Yeah, you know, people who are singing the praises of me don't include a lot of Republicans who are angry at some of the stuff I've been writing about General Kelly and this business with Donald Trump and Maisha Johnson, the war widow, and Frederica Wilson, the congresswoman. I mean, the whole story is just so awful.
It is awful.
It is.
And I just, it's been filling my email box all weekend and the comments on my social media.
But here's
people
what
are really riled
saying,
up about this story.
I'm sure you've heard this of General Kelly. We need him there because he is some sanity to the White House, that he's one of what they call the adults in the room, and we need him there.
Right, and he totally blew. He blew that, and he blew his moral authority with remarks on Thursday. And it's really hard to get my mind around how awful this truly is, because we really thought that Kelly was someone who was there, you know, providing this bulwark against Trump and his craziness. And he came out and really defended Trump, and he, in the process, lied about this congresswoman, this Florida congresswoman who he was attacking, and he just became another one of the goons around Trump. It was so disappointing. I mean, we're used to Trump by now. I think we were thinking so much better of General Kelly. Then the White House follows up by, you know, when the reporters call them on and say, hey, wait a minute, and I want to go through this, the details in this, but saying, wait a minute, this guy lied. He got up and lied to the media about this woman. What's that about? And Sarah Huckabee Sanders says, well, you don't want to pick a fight with a four-star general. That's a four-star Marine general. That's inappropriate. And David,
it's not inappropriate to lie.
He came back he actually came back to his credit, and so did General Petraeus and some other high military people, saying, no, we're fighting for the right for you to criticize us. But I mean, just sort of to replay this incredible story, which is so bizarre, because it really didn't have to be this way.
We shouldn't have
all.
Known any of this. I got to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, what happens October 4th? There's this incident in Niger where the four U.S. soldiers are killed under still somewhat mysterious circumstances. I didn't even know we had soldiers there.
I didn't either.
And a lot of senators, they were talking to Lindsey Graham and Chuck Schumer on the chat shows on Sunday. They didn't know there were soldiers there. So the administration, Trump keeps quiet about this. And at his news conference last Monday, a reporter asks about, you know, what is his response to this? What's going on? Why haven't we heard about this? Doesn't mention the families of the survivors in the question. Families of the victims, I'm sorry, in the question. Trump pivots off this question and starts talking about how, well, I've reached out. I'm going to reach out to these families.
Other presidents
don't do it.
They've written letters.
It was just crazy. He was attacking Obama and implicitly Bush before him, and all the presidents had gone before that. And the thing is, that was just false. That, you know, in times of significant numbers of tragedies, presidents will write letters. They won't call everybody.
And attend funerals.
And attend funerals. And there's certainly video of Obama going to Dover Air Force Base to greet, you know,
the bodies.
Calf that's coming home. I mean, they don't do it for everyone, especially when there's a lot of fatalities. You don't do that. But there's no question that Obama and Bush and the presidents before him have fulfilled this duty. So Trump comes out and, you know, throws crap at them. And then a little bit of research done by The Hill and Politico shows that he hasn't called, like, but it's basically half the fatalities in war fatalities under his watch. He hasn't reached out or called.
Right.
And so anyway, so he's just made a mess of this for no reason. He wasn't even challenged on that point, and he makes a mess out of it. So this is stirring along, and then General Kelly comes out on Thursday. And I think I've jumped ahead a little bit. There's this other controversy that develops because the phone call that he made on Tuesday, the day after his news conference,
because he was pressed to do it,
to Maisha Johnson, who's the pregnant widow of LaDava Johnson,
and on her way one of the sergeants to the service when she receives the call.
On the way to the service, she gets this call, and the report from her and from a congresswoman who was in the car was that Trump rather bluntly said to her, well, you know, he knew what he was signing up for.
Sorry, it didn't work out.
It's really sad when that happens.
Yeah.
And that he didn't remember his name.
Well, that's what she said. She said that he kept saying, your guy.
Right.
So what happens is that suddenly everyone jumps to Trump's defense. Trump says that she's lying, that the congresswoman is lying about this.
He has proof.
And he has proof, which he, of course, has never been able to produce. General Kelly comes out on Thursday, and he basically tells us that Trump is not telling the truth, because he says, well, what Trump was trying to say was, and then he says he was trying to say that he was, fine military man, and he knew what he was signing up for, and that this is where he wanted to be, and this was his choice, and that this is, you know, I mean, Kelly put it fairly well, I would say. I'd say he expressed himself fairly well in that case. I'm not sure that I buy that he says that he was exactly where he wanted to be when he died. I'm not sure. I can't.
I don't believe that.
I don't
for
think
a
they
minute.
Even say that someone who's in the military. I've been watching this Vietnam documentary.
Isn't it awesome?
And you hear it's fabulous. And you hear a lot of interviews with the people who were over there, both enlisted people and drafted people, who a lot of the time were saying, "What are we doing here? What is going on here?" So I don't know what you know. Given that we don't know what people were doing in Niger, whether these guys thought, "Yeah, we're here. This is where we want to be." But be that as it may.
But Eric, if his point was, let's take that phrase to mean what it means. It's what he signed up for. So what he's saying essentially or trying to say is he knew he was going to be in a dangerous place, that that's what war is. It's battle after battle and your life could be taken at any time.
Yes.
But it's so insensitive to say that to somebody who has just lost their husband. I know what he was going for, but
yes.
The wording couldn't have been worse.
Well, and this is because I think Trump lacks certain human empathy.
There's a tact
empathy.
That is,
He doesn't know how to say it. And that's, you know, he's never been in the military because he had bone spurs. So, you know, he just doesn't have that vocabulary.
Right.
He says he's got all the best words. He does not. He does not know how to express himself in that way. Fine. General Kelly comes out to clean up the mess, and he does somewhat, but he also says this, which I want to get to. He says, "And a congresswoman stood up and in the long tradition of empty barrels making the most noise." And he's talking about a speech that she gave in 2015 at the dedication of an FBI building in Florida. And she stood up there at this thing, and she talked about, says the general, how she was instrumental in getting the funding for that building, how she took care of her constituents because she got the money, and she just called up President Obama on the phone. He gave her the money, $20 million, to build the building, and she sat down. This is Kelly attacking this congresswoman, this African-American congresswoman in Florida, who was in the car with the widow, who heard the conversation on speakerphone. The widow, by the way, gave an interview, I think, this morning to George Stephanopoulos, basically confirming everything that the congresswoman had said. There were some other people in the car who've heard it also. So anyway, so he decides to pivot on this and attack this congresswoman for her speech at this event, saying she just got up and made it about herself and sat down. Well, then what happens is a video comes to the South. One of the papers down there has a video of the speech. And in fact, the woman, the congresswoman, did not claim credit for the funding. She wasn't even in Congress at the time the funding was there. She says that she begins her speech by talking about how she had gone and expedited the process, and she credited John Boehner and some other Republicans for helping move the ball along and get the naming process going. That it was an expedited process. But then she pivots in this conversation, and she starts talking about these FBI agents who lost their lives for whom the building was named, and she asks law enforcement people to stand up and people to clap for them and so on. It was a pretty good speech. She did.
Yeah.
She at the beginning she mentioned herself and her role, but it was as a lead in to this rather long speech about how, you know, it was praising the agents, praising law enforcement.
Nothing to be embarrassed about.
And you know, it was, you know, the general's characterization of her speech and his attack on her character were absolutely false.
Yeah.
And okay,
schoolyard bullying is what's happening.
So give him. Well, let's give him some maybe small benefit of the doubt that he misremembered this, okay? Let's say he misremembered
this. Then look it up on the internet before you make a comment.
Well, that would be number one. Number two is when you're caught lying or making a really bad mistake and trashing someone's character, what you do is you come out and you say, "Hey, I misremembered that. I'm sorry. I apologize to the congresswoman." But no, they don't do that. They don't send him out again. They send out Sarah Huckabee Sanders to lie for him and to challenge reporters who are lying, who are calling him on this lie. And it's just one of the things where you think, like, this was the guy. We thought General John Kelly, retired General John Kelly, was going to be the guy who was the moral conscience of the White House. That he is there to provide this kind of guidance, and instead, he is now part of this problem, and it is so incredibly discouraging when we've got these amazing problems looming. This problem with Korea, everybody, you know, we're all talking about kneeling NFL players and so on, but this problem is going on with Korea right now. I mean, this is a major thing, and you really, really want someone there who is, as you said, Bill, the adult in the room, the supervisor of the daycare center,
right,
who's going to prevent us from getting into some sort of nuclear war with these two leaders, Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump, these incredible narcissists and knee-jerk fellas. And it is so discouraging what's happened there.
All right, hold your thought. If you want to jump in on our conversation, we're at 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you. You can call us or text us there. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and Eric Zorn from the Tribune on WGN. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. We're talking about a big story and Kelly's involvement in President Trump's call the other day. We've got several texts. The strangest one to me, many of them are valid, and this one maybe too, although I don't think it is it says that the three of us have no right to discuss this since none of us did any time in the military. I'm not positive that's accurate. I'm positive that none of us spent time in the military, but it doesn't mean that we can't discuss
this. It's accurate in that it reflects a certain mindset out there, but it's one that most military people don't share. That you talk to these generals. I mean, remember when Trump was talking about how he knew more than the generals? I mean,
yeah.
Trump has been disrespecting the military. You know, with the attack on the Gold Star family last summer, and talking about how he knows more than he knows, and John McCain, and talking about how he knows more than the generals. I'm hoping that the person who wrote that text also agrees that Donald Trump has absolutely no right to be talking about any of this stuff, and no right to complain about people disrespecting our military by taking a knee, which is not what's happening in the NFL.
Someone has texted, I thought this was supposed to be a private conversation between the president and the widow, not a speakerphone conversation.
It was.
But that's no one's business but that woman. She was on the way to meet her husband's body, I believe, correct?
Yes, and I think that her,
family
by, her account, by her account, they said, we're going to put this on speakerphone because she said there are other people in the car. But be that as it may, now she's come out and confirmed all the details of the conversation. She gave an interview this morning. So this complaint about, well, it should have been a private conversation. Well, so what? First of all, you're the president of the United States. You don't have private conversations. You know, what you say is a matter of great consequence.
Yep.
And, you know, I would say I give him the benefit of the doubt. I give Trump the benefit of the doubt that he was trying to say something in this really inartful way that Kelly had put into his head. Kelly had said, you want to talk about how they enlisted and they're and he just, because he is Donald Trump, because he doesn't have like normal human emotions, he can't convey that kind of empathy.
Right.
And so I give him the benefit of the doubt. And if he'd come out and said, you know, what I meant to say was this, and if I said it inartfully and I hurt the widow, then I apologize. This is something that Trump is unable to do. But now it seems like his entire administration is unable to say this. Kelly can't come out and say, I made a mistake. I misremembered what happened with this congresswoman's speech. He's unable to say that. Trump is unable to say, I caused this widow pain by the inartful way that I said what I wanted to say, but here's what I wanted to say.
And then everybody forgives. I'm sorry, they do. If he would say that, people say the wrong thing sometimes.
This is part of Trump's MO. He never apologizes. He never even gives a second look to what he has said and done. He just simply keeps doubling down.
Right.
And it's outrageous, right, in some situations like this. It's hurtful to this person. But it's also scary because if you're someone who, like, once you set up on a path and you can't deviate, you can't say, well, maybe I was wrong about this. I mean, second-guessing yourself is really, really important when you're leading the free world.
Right.
You have at your fingertip control this incredible military apparatus. You know, we want him to be able to say, well, you know, I have issued this challenge to Kim Jong-un, but I'm going to back away from it. And I think President Obama, he got a lot of crap for this when he drew the red line in the sand with Syria.
Yeah.
And if they use chemical weapons again, we're going to go in there and turn that sand into glass. And he backed off of that and was like, oh, you know, he drew the red line. He shouldn't have drawn that red line. That was a mistake. But it would have been a much bigger mistake if he had overreacted to what Assad did in Syria and gone in and some sort of full-scale assault. He was able to, you know, have a second thought. Now, I think that's really important in a leader like that, and that Trump doesn't have that. That's why it's so scary. And the fact that we now apparently don't have next to him a chief of staff who has that moral compass.
Somebody wants to know by way of text why we haven't mentioned that General Kelly's own son died in the military. But you would almost think that would make him more sensitive to the situation, not less sensitive to the situation.
Well, yeah. And he explained in the context of his remarks on Thursday, he was saying this is what was told to him by his casualty officer, I think it's called, that speaking to him and telling him
the condolence call.
I'm not sure it was a call, but a visit, whatever. However they discuss this. But this is something that comforted him, that made him feel this way. And so that's what he allegedly passed along to the president.
Right.
And in that little game of telephone, Trump botched it. I mean, there's no question about it now. I mean, Trump, even Kelly seems to agree with that. He botched it. So when you botch it, you say, the last thing in the world that I wanted to do was cause pain to this pregnant war widow from the man who was bravely serving our country. I apologize for that. Here's what I wanted to say, and my deepest regrets. That is not in his vocabulary.
Somebody put it into perspective, in their opinion, 630. Kelly assisted pretend president with condolence phone call. President messed up. Kelly's ego bruised, so Kelly attacks witness to phone call. Yeah. Seems kind of like that.
Yep. Yep. It's this chain of stupid events that it all could have been avoided if Trump had just given a quick and honest and political answer to what was not even the question that was asked to him on Monday. So it's like it is just this this Jenga tower of errors that happened. And it is Trump. Is that Steve Bertrand?
That is Steve Bertrand. It's funny you mentioned that, Eric. Thank you, by the way, Eric Zorn.
It's great to see you.
Steve Bertrand will be on next with the Wintrust business launch. We'll find out what he has as Wendy and I go to the stream. That's all coming up next. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Listen, learn, laugh. 720 WGN.
Want the best internet at a great value? Then get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 12 months. Experience the speed you need at a great low price for just $19.99 a month for 12 months. Plus, learn more about Xfinity XFi and change the way you Wi-Fi. Xfinity XFi delivers the fastest internet and the most Wi-Fi coverage throughout your entire home for the best in-home Wi-Fi experience. AT&T can't give you that. So call 1-800-XFINITY today to experience all that Xfinity Internet has to offer and get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity XFi. Get started today with Performance Starter Internet for just $19.99 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement and EcoBill and AutoPay enrollment. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store to switch today or to learn more about other Xfinity Internet-only offers. Service charge increases by $5 per month without EcoBill and AutoPay enrollment. Offer ends 12/4/17. Restrictions apply. New customers only. Equipment tax and fees extra and subject to change. After promo, regular rates apply.
Blackhawks Hockey and WGN sponsored by Napleton Westmont Porsche. Tune in for the goalie matchup of the game, updated before every game. It's all sponsored by Napleton Westmont Porsche. Visit them at PorscheOfWestmont.com.
It's Wendy Snyder here, and for years you've heard me talk about all the many benefits my family and I receive from taking Natron's Healthy Trinity, the world's best probiotic. But take a listen to Norma's story.
Hi, I'm Norma from San Francisco, California, and I've been taking Natron's Healthy Trinity for about 15 years. I take it every morning, one capsule. I really feel that Natron's Healthy Trinity has contributed to my good health, and it has definitely helped my immune system because I rarely get sick and I don't experience bloating, and I will continue to take Natron's Healthy Trinity for the rest of my life.
Standard message and data rates may apply. To get a 90-day risk-free trial of Natron's Healthy Trinity on this special radio offer, text WGN to 246810. Grab your smartphone right now and just text WGN to the numbers 246810. That's it. Text WGN to 246810 for more information on the 90-day risk-free trial.
Steve Bertrand is here for the Wintrust business lunch.
Yeah, how's your backyard?
It was wet.
Okay. Is it bigger than the backyard you grew up in or smaller?
Smaller.
Bill?
Mine is also smaller.
Yeah, America's yards are shrinking.
Uh-oh.
And some interesting reasons why. I mean, some of it has to do with the car. When the car became popular, our yards got bigger.
Right.
But the fact is now we're building these big, giant houses on smaller and smaller lots, and psychologists are saying it's bad for us because we need to be able to get out and play.
Oh, all right.
Does that sound like a business story? We're going to make
it
one.
It does.
It's going to work.